If you were in trouble, really in trouble, who would you call for help? Welcome to The Good Word, a weekly radio program which explores issues of faith. Our current series focuses on Old Testament couples. My name is Paul Dibdahl, and my conversation partners today are Zdravko Stefanovic, professor of the Old Testament, and Carl Kosart, professor of the New Testament, and we are all three colleagues in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Welcome to both of you.
It's good to be here.
Thank you.
The title of our lesson this week is Boaz and Ruth, Firm Foundations. And our scripture focus is actually the entire book of Ruth, all four chapters of it. Now, in the Jewish canon, the book of Ruth is placed just after the book of Proverbs. The reason for this is that Ruth is seen, at least one of the reasons for it, is that Ruth is seen as an example of the virtuous woman described at the end of the book of Proverbs. What qualities do we find in the book of Ruth that show Ruth to be a virtuous woman?
Well, there's many. I mean, the case of, you know, Proverbs 31, you know, the superwoman in that chapter, she gets up early, she's out getting food and everything. And in the book of Ruth, we do see her. She's out there, she's working in the field, she's getting stuff, she's providing. She's not really sitting back. She takes the initiative.
Okay.
Dedication and loyalty we see in both passages. And we see Ruth acting that way toward her mother-in-law, mm-hmm. and even toward her God. In spite of the words that she had heard from her mother-in-law that were somewhat confusing about the role of God in the tragedy that that happened mm-hmm. in the family, somehow for Ruth, that loyalty that she has in her heart overrides mm-hmm. the immense tragedy.
Now, we probably should talk for a moment about that tragedy. Ruth is a Moabitess. She's from the region or the land of Moab. And she marries, she and her sister marry as someone who's come from the land of, brothers who've come from the land of Israel. But then there are multiple deaths. Mm-hmm. And Ruth and her sister are left without husbands, and her father-in-law also passes away. And then Ruth ends up returning with her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to what's the region of Judah, Bethlehem. And that's where the story kind of then takes place. The names in the book of Ruth, not just the names, but there are a variety of puns or plays on words that we would miss in our English translations, but that add a sort of sparkle or add some interest to the story. What might some of those puns be?
There are several. Let's begin with the name of Naomi's husband. His is the first name mentioned here, Elimelech, and that would be my God is king. And yet Elimelech and his family, they have to leave the land of their God and go and look for shelter and food elsewhere outside of the native land. They have to go to Moab. So that would be one.
How about the names of the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion?
I'm not aware of any special significance.
Okay. How about Naomi?
Pleasant.
Sweet lady.
And then her name, she asks that her name change, though, right?
Call me Mara. Yes.
And that means?
Bitterness.
Bitterness. Okay.
You mentioned Bethlehem before.
Mm-hmm. I did mention Bethlehem, which means house of bread or place of... Place of bread, is that fair to
yes,
say?
Yes, that Old would Testament be one possible translation.
Okay.
some scholars have also conjectured that it could have been tied to a Canaanite god, Lachmu.
Okay.
So the temple to him, if it had existed prior.
Well, then that kind of ruins the irony then that I was hoping for, because we find that in Bethlehem, the house of bread, that there is no
so
there
is that
no
is
bread.
A possibility.
There is no
yes,
food.
Yeah, that would definitely.
Now, as... as Ruth returns back to the land of Israel with her mother-in-law Naomi, she comes into contact with a man by the name of Boaz. Gleans in his field, he takes notice of her, and an interesting kind of relationship develops. What characteristics of Boaz do we find as we look at this story and the way that he related to Ruth?
I think it's interesting. Often, I think we fail to make the connection that Ruth is not an Israelite. I mean, she is from Moab. She's a Moabitess. And in fact, we have in archaeology evidence of, you know, finds the Moabite stone, which actually describes, you know, people of Moab who are very dedicated to their God. Mm-hmm. So here she comes out of this pagan background, but yet he notices her. He could have, you know, if he knew that she was a foreigner, kind of, you know, definitely excluded her. But here he goes out of his way to provide for her, to make sure that his workers leave extra, you know, the harvest, wheat in the field, so that she can have enough to glean for her family or her mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
So you see him, a man of upstandingness and a sense of kindness towards those who are on the margins of society.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I have tried my best at times to treat beggars with respect.
Mm.
I don't think that I could ever say something like this, and I'm going to read the words that Boaz tells Ruth. Once again, just like Kyle has mentioned, a foreign woman who comes and basically it's like next to begging to glean mm-hmm. in the field, get a few handful of grain per day in order to survive. And this is what Boaz tells her in chapter 2, verse 11. I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland, and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And in fact, in the whole story, the way in which Boaz talks to Ruth, it's outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
With what kind of respect and how he's careful toward her and trying his best to help her in all possible mm-hmm. Ways. It's amazing.
Now, could we say that perhaps outsiders would have been uncomfortable with what his behavior was? Could they even have accused him of perhaps going against Scripture? And I think here of Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 4, which says, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. None of his descendants shall enter the congregation of the Lord forever.
And yet here Boaz is extending kindness yes. to someone from Moab.
Well, let's keep in mind that Ruth had already been married. She's a widow. And yet, repeatedly, Boaz makes sure, he tells her and he tells his young men that no one should try to assault her.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And physically, you know, he's interested in providing protection for her and so on. She was not even a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had
mm-hmm.
already been married, but he's so much concerned for her reputation, for her safety.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's amazing.
Yeah, now, he isn't just kinder. He isn't just a friend to her. But as we work our way through the book of Ruth, we discover that he is a relative. And there's this mention of Boaz as near kinsman. What exactly is being referred to here? Who is a near kinsman? What would their responsibilities or expectations be, and how does that play out in this story? It's central, I think, to the book.
In the Israelite culture, according to the Bible, there was a special provision that came from God, and that is if there was a woman married to a man, and the husband died without leaving a child, and the child would be provide a hope mm-hmm. for his mother, for that lady, because there was, let's remember that there was no social security check,
mm-hmm.
there yes. was no welfare, and in that case, there was a provision that the nearest brother, or in the absence of brother, as it is the case here in this story, relative, would marry that lady, not out of romance, mm-hmm. but for practical purpose, to help her materially, number one, to provide for her, and number two, to provide a male child
mm-hmm.
who would eventually take care of the mother and also continue the name of the deceased brother.
Mm-hmm.
So Boaz was related to Ruth, and there was some type of expectation, you know, mm-hmm. that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't necessarily always marriage entailed, right? Sometimes it was just raising up a child. Or would it actually involve marriage?
It would.
And
it would. That's why we call it a levirate marriage. There would be a marriage ceremony, and that would be a distinction between, let's say, doing something outside of marriage, mm-hmm. of that mm-hmm. bond.
So this near kinsman, this relative, would be in many ways what would be a kind of deliverer, a kind of savior, mm-hmm. whatever the trouble or trial that you were undergoing. Your near kinsman was the one that would somehow come to your rescue to provide for you, to support you, and in some cases to exact vengeance if violence had been done to you. And Boaz, in the book of Ruth, although he was not the nearest relative, once the nearest relative does not wish that responsibility, then Boaz takes it upon himself to provide that kind of security and protection for Ruth.
And the title that is used in the original language, Goel, is a redeemer, mm-hmm. someone who helps remedy the situation, someone who comes through in order to help the desperate person mm-hmm. have some hope for survival.
Yeah. And it is interesting that there is someone who's closer, and that person has no interest in mm-hmm. exercising that right.
The intensity of the story is that there are two ladies who are desperate. If it was just one, but both of them need help. So Naomi, she puts herself to work and she prepares a plan.
Yeah. Now, we're just about out of time. I wonder, though, what you would say would be the basic message of this book? And again, we have just about a minute, but the basic message of the book of Ruth, is it on Ruth's faithfulness, the kindness of Boaz, the providence of God? What would you say is the emphasis of this book?
It's hard to say because the book is you know, a short book, has four chapters in it. You'd think this would be easy. But to me, I don't know personally if I can boil it down to just one. I mean, to me, ultimately, every story of Scripture, the presence of God, that's what to me is the greatest. But there's so many things here. I have a hard time
selecting just one.
Huh? How can you take part of the story? It's the whole story.
For me, one would be the way in which Boaz acts as a gentleman. That notion of respect is very important in marriage, and it should be an essential ingredient in love relationship. Mm-hmm. And also one more, and that is where the women tell Naomi, "For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth."
Mm-hmm.
A nice relationship mm-hmm. between Naomi and Ruth, how mm-hmm. the two ladies were able to survive, trusting in God and being kind to each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, we may not choose the title Kinsman Redeemer for ourselves this week. I think it is true that we could all be mindful of those around us who may need our help, and that we would provide that kind of support that we saw Boaz provide. Thank you, Zdravko and Carl, for your participation today. Thanks also to Susan Michael, our program engineer. And finally, thank you for listening in. For A Good Word, this is Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.